All right, guys, we got some major Middle East news that we want to bring you today on this special Saturday broadcast. It is December 7th, 2024. Damascus, Syria has now come into the spotlight. Now, you may be asking, why is Damascus, Syria that important? What is the big deal about this, Brother Ricky? Well, if you know Bible prophecy, guys, you know that this prophecy from Isaiah in Isaiah 17, wherein which the prophet saw way into the future that a time would come when the capital of Syria would come in the spotlight. It would make headlines around the world. It would be there would be a significant event that would take place to make that headline. And that Damascus would cease from being a city. And he even gives even more cryptic details and says that it will become a ruinous heap. Again, the prophet Isaiah peered thousands of years into the future and saw a time when the capital, the oldest, one of the most oldest ancient cities in the entire Middle East, Damascus, Syria, would become a ruinous heap. Now, he never gives details on how that's going to happen. He never tells you who directly is responsible for it and why it happens. But it's enough to intrigue biblical scholars for years, theologians, and students of prophecy to keep their eyes on the Middle East and pay attention to Damascus, because it eventually, guys, it's going to come to fruition. And today, we're going to give you some new reports coming out of the Middle East, where here in which, consequently, Damascus, Syria has come into the focal point. Let's go.
The following program is brought to you by friends and partners of End Time Headlines.
All right, what's going on, guys? Again, this is End Time Headlines, news and headlines from a prophetic perspective. I am your host, Ricky Scapero, the founder and the voice of End Time Headlines, and it is Saturday, December 7th, and we got a special report for you. Before we get into this thing, can you do me a favor? Hit that like button here on YouTube, Rumble, or whatever, wherever you may be watching from. And if you're listening by Apple or by Spotify or wherever you get your podcast from, we'd greatly appreciate your help. And you can help us out by giving us a good review. And it only takes just a few seconds to do that. And of course, if you guys have not picked up your free app, I want to encourage you to swing by your Apple or your Android Play Store. Type in End Time Headlines. Look for our official trademark ETH logo. Download it today. Hit yes to push notifications, and right in your palm of your hands, you're going to get every breaking news alert, prophecy viewpoint, every headline, every podcast right there, and it'll be squared away right at your fingertips. So I want to get you right into this, guys. Again, there's been a lot that's taken place, even over the past 24 hours, and we want to get you up to par with this. Let's take you over here to CBS News, and here's a quick report on this to give you a quick recap, and we'll go into more details about this.
Syria's neighbors, Lebanon, Jordan, and Iran are on high alert as rebels advance on the country's third largest city. It comes after they took the cities of Aleppo and Hama in less than a week. The rebels are gunning for the capital city of Damascus in a lightning offensive that caught government forces off guard. CBS's Chris Livesay has more.
Allahu Akbar! In more than 13 years of civil war, this was once unthinkable. Rebel forces taking the city of Hama, forcing thousands of civilians to flee and Syrian military forces to retreat. As power slips from Bashar al-Assad's once iron grip. Now the rebels make their way south to Homs, and if they're successful, they'll control three of Syria's five largest cities, leaving no major urban centers between them and the capital, Damascus, a lightning offensive that the UN warns could soon displace as many as 1.5 million people. God willing, this fighter tells CBS News, we will continue until we free all Syrians from the Assad regime. A liberation for some, a terror for others. The U.S. considers the fighters leading this advance a terror organization, which traces their lineage to an Al-Qaeda affiliate, though one they have since publicly disavowed. Allied with the Assad regime, Russia is attempting to slow the rebel advance with airstrikes as it urges its citizens to leave Syria. Assad's other key allies, Iran and Hezbollah, still have his back, but bogged down by their own wars with Israel, that backing may not be enough. Chris Lee.
Wow, guys, so three major cities in Syria has been captured, and they're heading for Damascus. In fact, let me pull this article up right here. Again, this is from the Times of Israel. Look at this right on the headline. Syrian rebels say they have begun encirclement of Damascus. Again, as we said in the opening introduction of this podcast today, guys, Damascus is the prophetic city that Isaiah said would topple in the last day. Syrian rebels say they have started to surround government-held Damascus after seizing towns close by, as the Syrian Defense Ministry denies the army had fled positions near the capital. All right, here's more on that, too.
To the Middle East now, Syrian insurgents have breached the suburbs of Damascus. It's all part of a rapidly moving offensive that has seen them take over some of Syria's largest cities. It's the first time opposition forces have reached the outskirts of the Syrian capital since 2018. This comes after the Syrian army withdrew from much of southern Syria, leaving more areas of that country under the control of opposition fighters. ABC's Lama Hassan joins us live now. Lama, these rebels are closing in on multiple points. What more are we learning about it?
Yeah, hey, Phil. So look, the situation on the ground in Syria is changing, and it's changing quite rapidly. Here's what we know. We understand that the coalition of Islamist rebel groups led by Hayat Tahrir al-Sham, which is affiliated to Al-Qaeda, they're also known as HTS, they are now closing in on the capital of Damascus. And according to reports, they are less than 5 miles from the center of the capital.
Wow.
There is video showing a crowd toppling a statue of Hafez al-Assad. That's, of course, the current president, Bashar al-Assad's father. On Friday, the rebels were advancing south, approaching Syria's third largest city of Homs. The Reuters news agency saying that according to their sources on the ground, they entered Homs fighting in northern and eastern suburbs of the city. There are also reports that the Syrian government forces have pulled out from some of the suburbs in Damascus. And Phil, just to illustrate how fluid the situation is, the Israeli military says they have been helping UN forces after they came under attack from armed individuals in the Golan Heights. The IDF saying that they've reinforced their forces there, and a reminder that...
Now, guys, just to recap here, or not recap, but to reiterate something here, the Golan Heights is another area of prophetic interest, because the Golan Heights, that's, again, that's where all of this end-time activity is going to take place as well. The Golan Heights right there, that's where the land for peace and all that stuff, the battle that ensuing right there, that whole region. So that's prophetic as well.
Israel seized the Golan Heights from Syria during the 1967 Six-Day War.
There, yep.
So Lama, Syrian President Bashar al-Assad has come out and said he's not fled the country. But do this, put this conflict into perspective. How are other wars around the world likely to impact all of this? And why is the U.S. keeping such a close eye on it?
Yeah, look, this is hugely significant because back in 2011, during the Arab Spring, there was a massive revolt and there were pro-democracy protests on the streets. They were trying to overthrow the president. They weren't able to overthrow the president. The rebels now feel that they have the momentum, and their ultimate goal is to reach the capital, Damascus, and bring down the government of Bashar al-Assad and...
Wow. Whoa, hold on.
Topple Bashar al-Assad. So the question is,
what will bring down the government
of president? The rebels now feel that...
Listen to what this... Guys, I got chills from this. Listen what this woman says right here. Now, remember, The prophet Isaiah said he saw that Damascus would become a ruinous heap. It would be toppled, right? Listen to the verbiage as she's saying here.
But they have the momentum, and their ultimate goal is to reach the capital, Damascus, and bring down the government of Bashar al-Assad and topple Bashar al-Assad. So the question is...
Wow. Wow, guys. Again, could this be it? Could this be the conflict that ultimately leads to the fulfillment of Isaiah 17? Time will tell, but why not? Why wouldn't it be now? Look at everything that's happened. Look at all the wars, rumors of wars, nation against nation, kingdom against kingdom. Look at the global tensions. Israel is at war on seven fronts in the Middle East. You got Russia, Ukraine. China is now attacking America, not so much with bombs and missiles, but with hacks, cyber attacks. We got those weird drones that nobody knows where they're from, what they're doing. You had the largest telecommunications breach. You've got so many things, it's hard to keep track of all this stuff. Your head just spins. You've got North Korea involved with Russia. You got South Korea involved with Russia. So why wouldn't it? The temperature is just right, guys, for this to happen, isn't it? This is absolutely amazing to be witnessing.
What happens next? We know that the Middle East is in turmoil right now. So if Bashar al-Assad falls, what happens next? And I think a lot of people will want to know the answer to that.
So that's the big question, guys, right now, is what's going to happen if, and they're saying, the rebels are saying now that they have the momentum to carry out the toppling of the Bashar al-Assad regime from Syria, and it's going to happen where? In Damascus. This is amazing stuff to be witnessing this. Now, I want to go back to this article. I want to read a little bit of this and show you this. The rebel commander with the Islamist-led alliance that launched the offensive in the country's northwest says, quote, our forces have begun the final phase of encircling the capital of Damascus. Right there it is. The ministry says, quote, there is no truth to news claiming our armed forces present in all areas of the Damascus countryside have withdrawn. So again, the rebel commander of this Islamist-led alliance is saying that the Damascus is in sight, it's in reach, and they are going to take it. Now, I thought this to be interesting. Turkey's Erdogan encourages Islamist rebels to continue advances as Assad regime scrambles to, quote, survive. Let me say that again. Turkey's Erdogan encourages these rebels to continue as the Assad regime scrambles to survive.
Breaking tonight, the U.S. is not picking sides in the latest turmoil to ensnare Syria. This comes despite the fact that the American military has nearly 1,000 troops on the ground in that country. Chief National Security Correspondent Jennifer Griffin has the latest tonight from the Pentagon.
The lightning-fast seizure of Syria's second-largest city, Aleppo, by the Syrian opposition forces, a coalition of vicious al-Qaeda-linked offshoots, is the greatest threat to Bashar al-Assad's regime since the Syrian civil war began in 2011.
The United States is not actively involved, nor do we seek to actively get involved in the civil war that has been occurring in Syria.
The U.S. military used a special deconfliction hotline with Russian counterparts, given the potential danger for misunderstandings as Russia's Air Force is carrying out joint airstrikes to protect Syria's Assad regime. The rebels captured four new towns on Tuesday and are now about 6 miles from the central city of Hama, Syria's fourth largest city. President Assad's forces have begun pulling out of Hama. The State Department joined the Pentagon in pushing back against growing disinformation spread by the Assad regime and the Kremlin that the U.S. military is involved. The U.S. designated the group that is leading the assault as a terrorist organization in 2012 after it declared allegiance to al-Qaeda.
This group is essentially a spinoff of al-Nusra Front, which was an al-Qaeda spinoff. And so, again, a recognized terrorist group.
We want to see de-escalation of the situation. The organization that launched this offensive over the weekend is a terrorist organization designated as such by the United States. We certainly do not support that organization.
900 U.S. troops remain stationed in Syria to counter ISIS. If the Kurds who are guarding the camps where 45,000 ISIS-affiliated refugees are held in eastern Syria decide they have to leave, that could mean a resurgence of ISIS.
All right, so there you have it on whether or not U.S. forces are going to be involved. As of right now, the Pentagon is telling us that America is not involved, nor do they have any plans to get directly involved. But that can quickly change, so we need to keep an eye on that. Now, there is also reports, I'm going to pull this up too as well, that according to, again, this is the Times of Israel, the Israeli Defense Forces recently struck a Syrian chemical weapons cache. The network cites foreign reports, though no such reports appear to exist, indicating that the situation is a tactic by the network to get around Israel's military censor. Earlier this week, the Horitz reported that the Israeli military fears that amid the Syrian rebel assault and their taking over of military sites belong to the Assad regime in the country, chemical weapons could fall into the wrong hands. Now, this brings up another point, guys. Let me read this and I'll give you some insight here that I want to talk about. If such weapons fall into the hands of the rebels or Iranian militias, Israel would have to, quote, act in a way that may affect Syria and the entire Middle East. Okay, stop. I want to keep this on the screen so you could see this as a point of reference. Notice here that they're warning that if chemical weapons are there, which, guys, I could go all the way back to the Gulf War, and there is much speculation that there was a lot of chemical weapons, mustard gas, all types of chemical weapons that was shipped even from Iraq into Syria, and they've been hid there. And it's no secret that Syria has these type of weapons, and they're saying, again, according to this report, if such weapons get into the hands of nefarious intent, either by these rebels or Iranian militias, I quote, Israel would have to, quote, act in a way that may affect or impact Syria and the entire Middle East. Now, what in the world could Israel do that would directly impact Syria and the entire Middle East? Well, I'm going to give you a worst case scenario. Let's just paint an hypothesis here. Let's say that one of these groups or both of these groups that are named get their hands on these chemical weapons. They decide to use them. Well, this poses a danger because depending on which direction the wind blows, it puts Israel in jeopardy. It puts the people of Israel in jeopardy because the wind can blow this stuff right into the populace direction. So this is why, again, this poses a major threat to Israel. So if Israeli intelligence determine that these chemical weapons are about to be used or have been used, and I'm just throwing this out, this is a worst case scenario. One of the ways that Israel can respond is through military action. And if it was bad enough, guys, it could turn into a full-blown war in Syria. And if this, let's just say these rebels go all the way and they achieve their objective, they reach the city of Damascus, they topple Assad and his regime, they take over Damascus. And now again, even the United States has deemed them a terrorist organization linked to Al-Qaeda. So even the Christians in the Middle East are all going to be threatened, just like they were with ISIS. Remember when ISIS was just running through the Middle East and beheading Christians, terrorizing Christians, taking women, children, and just wiping out Christians. This is what's going to happen again. And it's already happening. We reported on this this past week. There was reports citing that Christians were in grave danger because of what's going on right now in these regions of Syria. So you can, we can see now, guys, that this is a absolute conundrum for disaster. This could spell an absolute existential threat and disaster in the Middle East. And watch this. We could very well see, depending on how this thing goes, and we're going to have to, time will tell. This could literally bring about the fulfillment of Isaiah 17, which we would see in our lifetime, Damascus, Syria, become toppled, become a ruinous heap. And again, we could see a couple scenarios how this could be fulfilled. Because if the Assad regime is headquartered in Damascus, Syria, and they come in and they take it, not only would it result in bloodshed, but we're talking about the complete annihilation, destruction, and the toppling of Damascus. This could be secondary to that. And then again, we go back to this article from the Times of Israel, again stating that if the wrong hands get these chemical weapons and they try to use these, then Israel would have no other choice but to, quote, act in a way that will directly impact Syria and the entire Middle East. Now stop. Now I want you to think about this. I'm not going to keep you very long today. It's Saturday afternoon. Wanted to give you a quick, close to a 30-minute update on this. I've said this for a long time. When you get to Ezekiel 38, 39, when you get to that war, now this is the major Gog-Magog war. This is a major prophetic war that, again, all three monotheistic religions all believe in this war. They all believe it's coming. They all prophesy. They believe in the prophecies of it. Islam believes this. The Jews believe this. And the Christians all believe this. And in that war, there is a nation that is not mentioned. And it's not Turkey. It's not Persia, aka Iran. Even southern Soviet Russian counterparts are involved, or we could say Russia is involved to make it more easier to comprehend this, understand this. So you got Russia involved, you got Iran involved, you got Turkey involved, but guess who's missing? And it makes no sense why they'd be missing. One of the key players missing is Syria. Now, why are they missing? We have speculated this for years. Now, again, going back to what they're saying here, if a worst case scenario unravels and is brought to fruition in the Middle East, again, it could, quote, directly impact Syria and the entire Middle East. Because, guys, I'm going to tell you, if Damascus is left as rubble, as a ruinous heap, the entire Middle East will be spun into absolute chaos. And that will pull in, are you hearing me? That's going to pull in other Middle Eastern nations. Russia's going to get involved. Turkey's going to get involved. Okay? But notice in Ezekiel 38:39, you know who else is not involved in that war? America. Where is America at? Because Israel's involved, because those nations form a coalition and they invade Israel in the latter days. But America's not mentioned. Now, we've speculated. Again, I don't want to rehash all this, but either America is no longer a nation, they're not standing anymore because they don't exist, or two, they have decided we are diplomatically not going to get involved, militarily they're not going to get involved. They could do that, or we have a leadership that is a president in position that says we're not going to get involved, we're not going to be brought into this, we're not going to get pulled into this. So again, we could go, I mean, take a hat and draw out of a hat and pull something up, because we could come up with all kinds of different scenarios here. But the bottom line is this. Keep your eyes on Damascus, Syria. Because, again, those other cities that were mentioned, that were toppled, that were taken, Aleppo and Hama and Homs, They don't have a prophetic word over them, but Damascus does. That's the one that we need to be paying attention and close attention to. So again, guys, I hope that you've enjoyed this quick update. Again, all eyes on Damascus. Let's see what happens in the next 24, 48, 72 hours coming up this week. It's going to be very, very interesting to see how all this unfolds. So again, guys, we want to encourage you, if you've not downloaded our free app, pick it up today at your Apple Store, Android Store. Download it today. Hit yes to push notifications so you can stay on top. We want to stay on top of everything that's going on. We want to give you the latest updates, and we'll do that right here. And you could, if you get the app, that's all you need. You're going to get it. Don't rely on these social media outlets, because a lot of times they shadow ban, they censor, and they prevent us from getting things out there. So that's why we always want, we appreciate you following us on these platforms, on Facebook and Instagram and Twitter and all these other places. But again, don't solely rely on seeing every headline, every story from those sources, because there's a lot of things we won't post there, but we'll exclusively post from our app or our main website. And again, guys, if this ministry blessed you, encouraged you, equips you, as always, we want to give you an opportunity to pray about becoming a monthly partner. You can do that two different ways. You can give electronically through the app or through the main website, or you can give by check or money order. And right there on your screen, you can make it out to End Time Headlines, P.O. Box 1391. That's Monroe, Georgia, 30655. So guys, we appreciate you guys coming on here to this broadcast today. We're going to sign off for tonight. I don't know if we will be on here tomorrow. We'll see. I don't want to say no, but I don't want to say definitively yes. We'll give you an announcement. We'll let you know either or. But we will be back here, Lord willing. We plan on, I know it's been 3 weeks. We've had people ask us this. Where is the Monday night prayer meetings? Listen, guys, I've been dealing with physical infirmities. I'm going to give you a full update on Monday night. I don't want to do it here, but this Monday night, 8 p.m. Eastern, I'm going to give you a full update on what's going on with me, so you guys can pray with me about this. I'll tell you my endeavors, my plan, and we will also pray for many of you guys. So again, if you're watching, listening, Rumble, YouTube, outside of this, Facebook, Twitter, you're listening by podcast, you need to come over here and subscribe to our YouTube channel and hit those notification, that bell and stuff. Why? Because then that way you can join us live right here at 8 p.m. Eastern on Monday night. We usually do about 45 minutes to 1 hour of corporate prayer. We pray for one another. We pray for the nation. We pray for particular events and things that are transpiring that we feel like that we need to talk about and discuss that impact us and our families and our nation and so on and so forth. So again, guys, thank you so much for joining us on this Saturday evening. Until we see you on the next one, I pray the Lord's blessings be upon you. May his countenance shine upon you. May his favor be with you. May his angels protect you. And I pray this in the mighty name of Jesus. And all God's people said, amen and amen. God bless you guys. We'll see you on the next one.
Thank you for listening to the End Time Headlines podcast. We pray that you've been blessed and equipped by today's message. For more information about how you can help partner with our ministry, please visit endtimeheadlines.org.